Ready to hear God's word this morning. Amen? Amen. Amen? Amen. Now, normal Christianity part two. Remember what I said last Sunday, that, you know, in every culture, in every generation, we feel in all every culture generation, we feel that we have the right and the wisdom to really define, if you will, what is normal in society or what is abnormal. Amen? That's how it opened last Sunday. And for example, let me give an example of what is normal or abnormal. For example, let's take music. Do you love music? Do you love worship? Amen. But I love all forms of music. I have all of my life. And I mean, I love jazz. I love this. I love that. But when I was growing up, the music that we had when I was young, they were songs of meaning. They were deep meaning. The songs, you know, they had depth and passion to them. And literally, I don't know if you remember or not, some of you are too young, but you could even understand the words of the songs. Now, let me give an example of the passionate depth of a song, for example, when I was growing up. You probably may know this one and you may not. It's so deep, it's so passionate. The words go like this: "You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time. You ain't never caught a rabbit. And you ain't no friend of mine." Now that is really deep, isn't it? But at least we could understand the words, and they were even as abnormal as they were. You know what I mean? You want me to keep going? If you thought you said you were high class, but that, never mind. I'm just teasing. That's my only joke. We do not live in a normal world or a normal society. We have been chosen out of this world because we're not of this world, Jesus said. Amen? Now, with all of that being said this morning, the question I asked last Sunday, and I will ask again, is what does normal Christianity look like to you? Now, with all that being said, D.L. Moody said something. He said the scriptures, the word of God, the scriptures were not given to increase our knowledge, but to change our lives. You know, there are many books. I'm an avid reader. Many of you are as well. There are many books, loved one, but they inform. But there is only one book that can transform, and that is the living word of God. The Bible is the only book in the world that is living. Amen? It is living. Jesus said in John 6:63, he said, "It is the Spirit," meaning the Holy Spirit, "who gives life and the new birth," okay? He says, "The flesh profits nothing. The words," listen to what Jesus says, "the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." Amen? When Jesus speaks, it is a living word. Amen? Jesus, when he was speaking to Nicodemus, John 3:5, he said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit," Holy Spirit, "he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh," meaning our natural birth, okay? "And that which is born of spirit is spirit," that is the new birth. Now, when it says born of water, there's those who say, well, that means baptism. It couldn't mean baptism because Jesus had not introduced that ordinance to the church in John chapter 3. Does that make sense? Okay, so we know it's not water baptism, loved one. And plus, he was speaking to a Jew who knew nothing of New Testament baptism, all right? Because the church had not even been formed yet. But water can speak, of course, of being born, the natural birth. But also, is water a symbol of the Word of God? Yes, the washing of the Word of God. So it's it speaks of the living Word of God. How were we born again? Let me give it to you. 1 Peter 1:23, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed," that was our first birth, loved one, "not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides for" how long? "Forever and ever and ever." Now, with all that being said, are you in Hebrews chapter 4? Yes. We'll be there. I'll be in verse 12 in just a moment. Listen very carefully. We're going to look now in those couple of verses at five descriptions of the living Word of God. And yes, in context, it's written to the Hebrew believers, remember, and about you cannot have unbelief in God's word. That's what kept the first generation of the children of Israel out of the promised land, amen? Except for two, and that was Joshua and Caleb. Now, with all that being said, the Bible in Hebrew says some great words, of course, but it says this, the Holy Spirit says, everyone say says. Does that mean he speaks?
Yes.
Thank you. The Holy Spirit says, today. Today. That means right now. That's in the Greek, it's a sense of urgency. You open your ears. He's getting ready to speak. He says, today, the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Do not harden your hearts. You know why God doesn't want us to ever have hard hearts? Because a hard heart no longer hears God. A hard heart, loved one, there's so much hardness in today's church. I don't say so much here, but in the church in America, and it doesn't come from a lack of hearing truth, it comes from a lack of responding to the truth of God. Let me ask you a question. To not respond to the truth of God, is that normal Christianity or abnormal? It's abnormal. James 1:22. What does it say? Be you hearers, doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, let me give you another word. This is from Jesus our Lord. Eight times in the book of Revelation, Jesus says this, he who has an ear, reach your hand up there and find if you have any. You have one? All right. He who hath an ear, listen to what Jesus says, let him hear what the Spirit says, the Spirit of truth, what the Spirit says to the churches, plural, all the local churches. That's in the book of Revelation. Are you in verse 12 of Hebrews? All right, let's go. He says, for the word of God is what? It's living. It has life in it, loved one. And the word there is logos. Logos, of course, is God's spoken message, but it's also the written word of God. So it says, for the word of God, the logos of God, is living. Why? Because it comes from the living God. Amen? Is every word of God, it tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16, is every word of God, God breathed? Yes. It comes from the living God. It's the living word. And not only is it living, it is unbelievably powerful. Look at that. And powerful. That word means it's active. It's working. It's never, never idle. Anyone who hears God's word, anyone, believer, unbeliever, or hears or even reads the word of God, it has an effect upon them because it's alive. It's alive. It's living. Now, it may have a good effect or may have a bad effect upon them, or it could be that I'm just indifferent, but it has an effect upon every person who hears the word of God. It can make them mad, make you happy, huh? Come on. Yes. Why? It's alive. It does something. If I read something out of Huckleberry Finn to somebody, oh, wow. No. It doesn't work that way, loved one. God's word is living. It's alive. It is always working, especially in the Christian. Let me give you the scripture. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard, that means in the ear, faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God, amen? He says, when you heard from us, the word of God from us, you welcomed it. That means you received it into your heart, okay? And it says, not as the word of men, but as the truth, the word of God, which effectively works in you who believe. God's meaning, if you believe the word of God, it works in you. If you don't believe the word of God, it's not going to work in you. Amen? Now, look at look at 12 there, the next part. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Why? Well, because it's alive. You have 66 books in the Bible, and you can read through any page of the Bible, it will certainly have some kind of effect upon you. It can tear down your thinking, build up your thinking, amen? That God's word can comfort you, but it can also afflict you. It can, like in the book of Acts, when Peter was preaching the first the message at Pentecost, and he says in Acts 2:36, after he said he told the Jews, "And you crucified Jesus Christ, who God raised from the dead." And it says, "And now when they heard the living word of God that Peter was preaching, they were cut to the heart." In other words, they were stabbed. They were ripped apart, loved one. That's what the word can do. Now, is the word of God also our armor? Yes. You know, it says to put on the whole armor of God. His armor, not your armor, God's armor. And one of the pieces that we put on is our only offensive weapon. And it's Ephesians 6:17. Take up the sword of the Spirit, capital S, meaning the Holy Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Man. The word of God, the rhema of God, the spoken word of God, the power that's in it. Whenever Jesus was there in the garden, when he was being tempted in the wilderness, and the devil comes to him, you know, and tells him, well, here's a stone, you know, turn this bread so you eat. We know you're hungry and all that, you know, the story. What did Jesus say? He said, and he used a scripture from Deuteronomy. We call it Matthew 4:4 in the New Testament. He said to the devil, it is written that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Amen? After he quoted so many times, did the devil run from him and flee? Yes. He demonstrated the defeat of the wicked one with the word of the living God. Amen? And that's how we do it as well, because God's word is alive. So again, when you think of the logos, that's the written word, okay, rhema. That word rhema, the word used, logos or rhema. Rhema is what I'm doing now. I am communicating or speaking to you the written word of God, which is the logos of God. Does that make sense? And that's what I'm doing. So rhema is this. That's when the information on the page of your Bible becomes revelation in your heart, because God's word is living, amen? That's how you were born again. Someone spoke a rhema to you, the word of God, and it stabbed you in the heart. And you said, I want Jesus to be my Lord, amen? That's how it happens. And look what it does, piercing, in verse 12, even to the division of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow. That means the word of God will cut down to the very deepest part of a man, an individual. And it says, watch this now, and the word of God is something else, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So God's word is alive. It's a discerner. It exposes. It examines. He knows your every thought. He knows my every thought. He knows what's behind every thought and behind every motive that we do. You can't hide. You can hide things from man, but you can't hide anything from God. Amen? Now, with all of that being said, he says, and there in verse 13, there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things, not some things, all things are unclothed, are naked, and open, or literally that means exposed, laid bare to the eyes of him to whom we what? Must give an account. So we go from the living word of God to the living God himself in verse 13. One day we're going to stand before the Lord. Amen? Man, listen. The word of God, it is living, it is active, it saves us, it transforms us, it comforts us, it guides us, and one day it will judge us, amen? It's alive. Now, is what we just read, is that considered to all of us normal Christianity? Yes. Absolutely. So God's word is alive. It's living, it's powerful, it's active. Let's not kill the word. And you know how we do that? Unbelief. Unbelief kills the word of God in your life. Remember what Jesus said when he came into his hometown. And he says, you know, he went to Nazareth. His brothers, his sisters, his mother, they're there. And he comes in. He says, you know, a prophet is without honor in his own country. And it says in Mark 6:5, he goes, he said, you know what? He could do no mighty works there except that he laid his hands upon a few sick people and healed them. Here it comes. And Jesus marveled because of their unbelief. Marveled. Look up how many times Jesus marveled in the New Testament. It's very interesting study. Unbelief, he marvels at it. There's nothing that God can't do. We're singing that song. Amen? Now, when you're following the Lord, things happen in your life that are just totally unexplainable, but it works. For example, how about this one in Matthew 17:24? It says, when Jesus came down to Capernaum, remember the tax collectors were there, they were going to collect the temple tax from Jesus and Peter. And it says, nevertheless, Jesus says, you know what, Peter, lest we offend them. Now listen to what Jesus says to do. Verbs here. Go to the sea. Cast in a hook. Take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. That word in the Greek means the exact temple tax that's needed. Take that, give it to them for me and you. I want to listen to me very carefully. Peter, did he hear the word of God?
Yes.
Are those living words?
Yes.
Unbelievable. In other words, Peter departed to the sea with the spoken living words of God, Jesus. Living words that can never, never fail when obeyed. When obeyed. Now, how about the man born blind in John chapter 9, verse 4? Let me just read it to you, what Jesus said. This man was born blind from his birth, and Jesus said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it's day. The night's coming when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And when he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. Have you ever done that one? Okay. Saliva, he spit. Okay. He said, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. Now, Jesus could have healed him by just speaking a word, amen? Or just laying hands upon him. But he didn't do that. He anointed his eyes with clay. Listen to what Jesus said for him to do. He gives him seven words. Listen. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. So he went, he washed, and he came back seeing. Unbelievable. Now listen. A command from the lips of our Savior without one shred of evidence. Seven words, seven living words filled with life. That blind man left obedient faith on seven words that were alive. Amen? Can you imagine? You've heard me teach that. You know, what if a good Calvary Chapel brother or sister saw that blind man and he was going to clay all over his eyes and where's the pool of Siloam, you know? And you stop and say, oh, listen, why don't you come into my house, stay with me, I'll take care of you the rest of your life. Would that man been healed? No. He had to go and he could only wash out his eyes in one pool and one pool only. He was totally obedient and he came back seeing. Amen? Why? Because he went on those living words of God. When God cannot speak anything but living words. Everything, let there be light. Is that a living word? Is it still light? Yes, loved one. Whatever he says is alive, loved one. The Bible says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it'll not return to me void, but it will accomplish what I please and shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. Now, before the cross, before Jesus died, went to the cross, he told his disciples, he said, I'm going away, I'm going back to the Father. And he said in John 14, 1 through 3, he said, you know, don't let your heart be not troubled. You know, don't be afraid or anything. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's houses are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Amen? Yes. He told him that. And then he said something. He said in John 14, 15, Jesus said, now listen, if you love me, would you keep my commandments? Will you treasure my word? Will you do what I say to do if you love me? And here's what Jesus said. Listen very carefully now. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Jesus is going back to the cross, ascension, then home. Amen? Okay, I'll give you another helper, meaning another kind, just like me. I'm going to give you the strengthener, the comforter, the counselor, the standby. He says, I'm another helper that he may be with you or abide with you forever. Oh, he's going to be right there with you. Do you believe that word?
Yes.
Okay. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot welcome or receive because it neither sees him or knows him. Now listen to what Jesus said. Jesus looks at them. He says to us today, but you know him. You know him, the Spirit of truth. You know him, for he, meaning the Holy Spirit, is not a force or an essence. He is a person, amen? For he dwells with you, para, alongside of you, and will be in you, meaning in your heart, and on Pentecost, he will come upon you, amen? Okay. I will not leave you orphans. And then Jesus says this. He's sending the Holy Spirit, and he says, I will come to you. See, the Holy Spirit, like you heard me say the other day, or maybe I don't know when I said it. The Holy Spirit is just like Jesus. He's God, amen? But he's Jesus without flesh, all right? He's the Holy Spirit. So Jesus said, I'll come to you. I will presence myself to you in the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Are the words I just read from the Gospel of John about the Holy Spirit, are they the living Word of God?
Yes.
Yes. Are you the temple of the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
The very naos, the Holy of Holies. Are you sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption?
Yes.
Jesus said, but you know him. Do you know him? Do you really know the Holy Spirit? Oh, loved one, that is so important. Do you know him? Do you really know the one who takes you from glory to glory to glory? Do you really know the Holy Spirit who helps you pray when you don't know how to pray? I mean, are you, right this minute, are you even aware during your, wherever, in school, college, workplace, home, are you aware that the Holy Spirit is not only in you, but he is alongside of you forever and ever and ever? And he is here right this minute. Do you really know that?
Yes.
Do you even think about it? I'm challenging you. I'm not being mean. I love you. You follow me. Is it something that's consciously you're aware of? Listen, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13, 14, the great benediction, the closing out of that Apostle Paul's teaching. He says, the grace of the Lord Jesus. Now, we understand the grace, don't we? The unmerited favor of God. The grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God. Thank God he loves us. Amen. But then he says, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. The communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. What the word communion means, koinonia, fellowship, intimacy. It means you know somebody. You're close to them. He's close to you. Amen. Listen, that we understand the love of God and all the rest of it, but do you really have fellowship with the Holy Spirit? You will not have fellowship with him if you do not give the Holy Spirit the rightful place in your life. You have to be able to do that. Now, the Bible gives us four verbs to explain to us how to give the Holy Spirit his rightful place in our lives. The first one is walk, the second one is led, the third one is live, and the fourth one is keep in step. And they're all found in Galatians chapter 5. Okay, let me just quickly read it to you. This is the living word of God. Paul says in Galatians 5:16, here comes the first verb, I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the power of another, okay? That is a command, and then he gives us a promise. He says, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh, the old man, okay, lusts against the Spirit wars against the flesh and so forth. They're contrary one to another, that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are, here comes the second verb, if you are led by the Spirit, meaning willingly led, you want to be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law, because the law can't help you anyway. It's powerless to save you or give life, all right? Galatians 5:25, here comes the third one. If you live in the Spirit, does the Spirit live in you? Yes. If you live in the Spirit, here comes the fourth verb, let us walk in the Spirit. Now, that word walk there is not the same word that I read to you in verse 16. It's a different word in the Greek. It means to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. It means that you're progressing, you're going someplace. That is the adventure of following Jesus. Amen? And that's what that is all about, loved one. Now, listen. Jesus told his disciples, and he tells us as well in John 16:13. He says, however, when the Spirit of truth has come on the day of Pentecost, okay, when he has come, listen to what he will do. He will guide you into all truth, all spiritual truth. He will guide you. He will take you and lead you into all spiritual truth. He will illuminate the Word of God in your heart. Amen? He will make it real because he's the author of the Bible, amen? It says, he'll lead you into all spiritual truth. Now listen, for he will not speak. Does that mean to say words? Yes. He will not speak on his own authority. In other words, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit will always say the same thing, amen? Okay. And it says, but whatever he hears, the Holy Spirit will speak. And he will tell, that means to speak, he will tell you things to come. Now, the Holy Spirit, how does he speak to you? He speaks to us through prayer, doesn't he? He speaks to us through the Word of God, amen? He speaks to the inner person with that still, small voice, that nudge in the inner man. I just don't feel good about doing this, or I feel good about doing it, right? But let me ask you another question. Does the Holy Spirit speak into the believer's life audibly? I'm not talking about out here. Audibly. Most people say no. Most scholars say no. I beg to differ. I love people. I love all the theologians. Praise the Lord for them and all of that. But I'm going to tell you what. The Holy Spirit speaks. He speaks. He is God. God lives in us. We are his purchased possession. Amen? The body is for the Spirit. That's what it says in Corinthians. My body is for the Holy Spirit, and so is your body. Now listen very carefully. In Acts, go to Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 7, you know, remember Stephen is martyred, and a great persecution breaks out against the church in Jerusalem. And that was because of Saul. Remember Saul, he caused havoc on the church. He put men and women in the prison and so forth. And then in chapter 8, verse 4, because of the persecution, the saints of God, they're scattered everywhere. And it says in Acts 8, 4, therefore, those who were scattered, ordinary disciples, just like you and just like me, it says, oh, they went everywhere and look what they did. They were preaching the word. Now here comes one, the table waiter. Remember Philip? He in Acts chapter 6, he was a table waiter along with Stephen and all of that. And he's a Greek. He's a non-apostle. He is only a disciple. Matter of fact, he's the only person in the Bible really that has been given the title of an evangelist, okay? Now, but so Philip, look what he did. Well, he went down to a city in Samaria. He preached Jesus or Christ to them. The multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles that he did. He's a non-apostle, okay? And for unclean spirits crying with a loud voice, they came out of many who were possessed, and many were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was a great joy in the city. Boy, I can imagine. Now, go to verse 26. And it says in verse 26 of chapter 8, now an angel of the Lord, now he's in teaching, remember, miracles and all that are happening. He says, and the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. Isn't that amazing? It said, saying, what did he say? Arise, go south, go toward the south, along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert, or this is a road seldom ever used. Now, I want you to listen to me. How many words did the angel speak to Philip? 15 words, loved one. 15 words. Did he give an introduction? Did he say, let's talk about this? No, was there no discussion? And then he gives an unexplained command. That means that the angel spoke, and did Philip hear? Yes, he did, loved one. He didn't say, listen, man, do you not see? Look at look at all these people being healed. You know, I've got an interview with the Jerusalem Post tomorrow. Did he do that? No. Look at verse 27. Instant obedience, loved one. He said, he arose, he went. Behold, a man of Ethiopia. You know the story. He was a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all of his treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then, look at this now, verse 29, then something happened to Philip. Then the Spirit, is that a capital S in your Bible? Then the Holy Spirit said, he spoke to Philip, go near, overtake this chariot. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Are those living words? Yes. Anything that the Holy Spirit will speak, they are alive. God can't speak but anything but living words. He doesn't have any dead words. Amen? Okay, so the Spirit of Truth speaks to Philip those living words. But here's the deal. Why did the Holy Spirit even have to speak to Philip? Why? Because this was the own unknown will of God to Philip. Philip could have memorized the entire Old Testament, and he would have not known that there was a man of Ethiopia. Are you following me? See, this is the known will of God. Praise the Lord. But what about the unknown will of God that he wants you to do? Well, if you can't hear, then you won't respond. If you don't believe he speaks to you inside of you, you won't do it. You'll think that was the pizza or whatever. Do you understand? No, that's so, so important, loved one. Listen, man, like I said, he could have done anything. He could have known all the Old Testament. He's a Greek guy, a Greek Christian, and Jew too. No, he heard. Now, listen, if he heard the voice of the Holy Spirit, does that mean he recognized the Holy Spirit's voice? Yes, there it is. To recognize his voice. Now, let's go to Acts 10 very quickly now. We're going to meet Cornelius quickly, the Roman centurion. He's stationed in Caesarea, if you will. He's a Gentile. He prays to God all the time, him and his household. And he has a vision, and the angel of God appears unto him and says, oh, your prayers and all your generous in giving have come up, your alms, before God as a memorial. Go to verse 5. And he says, the angel speaks to him, now send men to Joppa. He says, and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do, meaning how to be saved, how to get close to God. Now, I'm going to tell you, verse 5, that's incredible. God knows everything, doesn't he? I mean, look at that. He knows the name. He knows the address down there by the sea. He knows everything. He knows Simon the tanner. He knows the person's occupation. God knows everything about you, everything about me. The Holy Spirit is with us right this minute. Man, God knows where to find you. He may be sending somebody to your address today. Never mind. Now, go to verse 11. Peter's on the housetop praying. He has a vision. And remember, you know the story. I'm not going to get in any in-depth teaching here. And so he saw heaven opened, an object like a great sheet, bound with four corners and descending upon him and let down to the earth. And there were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air. And a loud voice came to him. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord. I have never eaten anything common or unclean. I've never had fried pork chops. I've never had barbecue. None of those things. Go to verse 17. Now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius made the inquiry for Simon's house and stood there before the gate. And they called and they asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. And listen, and while Peter thought about the meaning of the vision that he had, okay, we know what it means. There's nothing uncommon with God. Amen. Don't call what God has cleansed uncommon. All right. So he thought about this vision. Now watch. Is that a capital S?
Yes.
The Holy Spirit spoke. He said to Peter, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down, go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Meaning those were Gentiles. Are you following me? He's a Jew. In other words, don't worry about it. Just do what I'm telling you to do. Now, I want to ask you a question. The Holy Spirit, did he speak living words to Peter?
Yes.
Okay, is there any way that Peter would have known to do this without the Holy Spirit telling him? No, there's none at all. Now, you know the rest of the story, how he went to preach there, and as he started preaching to Cornelius and his household, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. They all started speaking in tongues, just like Peter and them on the day of Pentecost. Amen? And the whole household was saved, right? Okay, now go to Acts chapter 13. Look at verse 2. Now, this is the church at Antioch, all right? It says, The worshipers that were there, and there were several, and they were, some of them are unknown, but they were all saved in different places if you read before you get to verse 2. But look what happened. So they're all there, and it says, as they ministered or as they were worshiping, look who they were worshiping, to the Lord. They fasted, and they were praying, in other words, and fasting. The Holy Spirit, what? Said, now separate to me, the Holy Spirit says, Barnabas and Saul, which is Paul, for the work, oh, what a work, for the work which, who called them? The Holy Spirit called them. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Are those living words? They are 16 living words from the Holy Spirit. And in that one verse, loved one, do you know how deep this is? In that one verse, the first missionary journey in the history of the church is about to take place because of verse 2, because of the Holy Spirit. Think, missions, where was missions birthed? It was birthed, the missions and missionary movement was birthed in a prayer room as they were praying and fasting. Amen? In a prayer room. Oh, loved one, listen, the Holy Spirit speaks. And did you know that it says, and the Holy Spirit called them. So the Holy Spirit speaks, the Holy Spirit calls them, not the church, not a church board, not a missions board. It's the Holy Spirit, not man. The Holy Spirit told the church what to do. Did you know that? Okay. Is he the one who birthed the church? Yes. Now listen, look at verse 3. Now then, they had been praying and fasting. That's something they'd already done. They were hungry for God, loved one. It says, having fasted and prayed then, what did they do? Well, they laid hands on them and sent them away. They laid hands on them. What does that mean? Does that mean that they imparted something to them? No. Does it mean they gave them some kind of new anointing? No. The church cannot impart. The church can only recognize. The Holy Spirit is the only one who imparts the gifts or anything else. Okay, now, with all that being said, they agreed with the Holy Spirit. So they laid hands upon them and sent them away. And if they did that, that means that they had an intimacy, a fellowship with the Holy Spirit. It also means that they recognized the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, you may say, well, Bill, maybe he spoke through a prophet. Whether he spoke through a prophet or not, they recognized the voice of the Holy Spirit. Very, very, very important, loved one. Now, watch what happened. So being sent out, who sent them out? Okay, they didn't do it. The Holy Spirit did. They went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. That's an island. So for the first time in the history of the church, they are now taking the gospel across the sea, this missionary movement. Now listen, so much of the church today, they take over the job of the Holy Spirit. And when you give the Holy Spirit it's his rightful place in the church becomes like Jesus. Amen? Because the Holy Spirit glorifies the Lord. Now, it's so important. Now, listen, the church, the Christian, cannot be led by someone they do not know, by someone they are not aware of, by someone they never depend upon. True Christianity is always the activity of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? Always, loved one. Listen, but I'm going to ask you a question. Now, is that normal Christianity? Yes. How we, loved one, how it must grieve the Holy Spirit for a Christian not to ever be expecting anything from him, never depending upon him, never practicing any awareness of his presence, knowing that he's right there in everything you do throughout your day, throughout your night. He's right there at all time. I mean, I just think about, do you ever pray, Lord, I'm getting ready to leave for work. I know that people are going to cross my path today. Use me. Do you ever just pray that? Use me, Lord. I mean, that's why we're here. Amen? And to use me. Listen, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and you hear it in here, whatever he speaks to you, they are living words. Now, living words for you, maybe, but maybe for others, which it usually is. Did you know that? For others. Now, listen, man, I was up all night praying. Loved one, listen to me. You know, I told you a story, I think, one time. Back when I was a young man there at Calvary Chapel, Las Vegas. And I used to work out, believe it or not, every day. And Becky would go to the, back then it was segregated. I don't know what it is today. I don't want to know either. But one side was all women and the other side was all men. And so I worked out there all the time. I didn't really know anybody because I worked the graveyard shift, okay? And so I'd get up and leave work and I'd come and I'd work out and I'd go and study the Bible. I was preparing for ministry. And so anyway, I'm working out. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit speaks to me during workout. He's right there. See, he's with you everywhere. He went to the gym. No, he. Do you understand how simple it is? And so I'm in there, you know, working out, and there's these two young guys over here, and they're professionals or whatever, and they're in their little tidy Speedos, and they're greased down. I don't know what they put oil, and they're looking in the mirror, and they're doing all that kind of stuff, and so I got over there, and I was warming up on that little tricycle thing, you know, no, it's truth. And so the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart. He said, walk over to those two young men. Tell them today is the day of their salvation. And if they will come to Christ, they will come in and find green pasture when they walk out. I said, No, now listen. It was real. Do you understand me? And did I have fear? Yes. You better believe it. Those guys, do you understand? No, I mean their legs, their chest, they were huge. And I said, I don't even have a will, and I'm going to go over there and say that to those people. And finally, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart one more time. And I just said, well, my wife is working out on the other side. If I die, she knows where I'm going to be. Honest, I'm telling you. So I walk over to those two men. They are gigantic. They're young. They're probably 19 years old, 20. And I said, my name's Bill. And the Holy Spirit just spoke to my heart. That got their attention. And he said, to tell you both, today is the day of your salvation. If you'll give your heart to Christ, you'll come in and find green pasture, and you will go out and find green pasture. The one was black-headed and blonde. The blonde-headed young man said, well, how do we do that? I said, can you be at my house at 6 o'clock tonight? And they said, yes, honest to God. Now listen to me. So I tell Becky, I said, these two enormous guys, they're gigantic. They're going to be here at 6 o'clock. And said, Bill, I said, that's what they said. They would come. I gave them a word. 6 o'clock, the doorbell rang. And listen, they were dressed in they dress in tight stuff. I mean, you can see every muscle when they walk. And I listened to me, honest to God. I opened the door. And when they came in, they rushed in, and the power of the Holy Spirit fell. They fell on their faces, and they started weeping in the living room. Ask my wife. She was right there. And these gigantic men fell on their face before me and asked Jesus Christ to be their Lord. And he saved them right there. Why? Because I believed a living word. And I gave them a living word. And how did they come from the gym to my house? On the living word of God. Does that make sense? Now listen. And the black-headed kid, he became Mr. Teenage America in that. Do you understand? Listen, the power of God, the power of just simply obeying him. Whenever he gives you a living word, you give that living word to somebody else and they can walk on water with it. Do you understand? They'll be changed. Listen, let me just tell you, I'd hate to even tell you this story. It's not a story, it's a true word. Matter of fact, I was sharing it with Pastor Cisco and my wife and Merlinda, whatever, we were talking at Friday at lunch. I'm sitting in the living room, the church here in the old church building, you know, over in West Fort Worth. It was 1997, I think it was. And whatever it was, I'm in my house, and the Lord moves on me in my heart. He says, call this person right now. Now, this was a young man that I'd led to the Lord. He was free from drugs and so forth. He was about now in his 20s. He said, call him now. I get on the phone. I still have his number in my cell phone right now. We talk once a week. He said, tell him that his best friend, his former best friend, is coming to his apartment. Whatever you do, you tell him, do not let that man in his house. Do not call him. Do not talk with him on the phone, and do not get in the car with him. Now, that's exactly what I told him that. And he said, what? I said, trust me. Just trust me. He said, all right. So I left it there. Didn't think anything about it. The next day, the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart. Call him right now. Said the young man is knocking on his door right now. I'm thinking, by then I'm crazy. I call him. I say, and he goes, he said, he's out there right now. He's knocking on my door. I said, I know, the Lord just told me. I said, I'm begging you in Jesus' name. You cannot go with that person. Don't open the door. Do you hear me? He says, all right. I said, no, you stay on the line with me until he leaves. That night, the boy that was knocking on his door, or the man, It was his old buddy, his old drug buddy. And what I didn't know that I found out later, and what he didn't know either, was that he had just ripped off a bunch of drug, sellers, what do you call them? Dealers. Dealers, yeah. He ripped them off of their stash. That's that day after he left the apartment from knocking on the door. He drove and people followed him right over here on 820 to Trinity Boulevard, whatever that is. And that's a big pasture used to be out there. They took him out in the pasture and they put him on his knees and they blew his brains out and killed him. I have his obituary still in my office. Had he gotten in the car with him, he would have died. What kept him? Why did he not die? Why did he not get in the car? Because the Holy Spirit spoke living words to my heart. I spoke living words to his heart from the Holy Spirit. Do you understand me? You should be expecting God to speak to you, expecting you right now to speak to you all every day, not only from the Word, yes, but the unknown will of God. Is there any place where I could have found in here that? No. Listen, how do you think pastors today find, we're to go into all the world. Well, what part of the world do we go in, Lord? It's not in there, is it? You have to be led by the Spirit. You have to hear the voice of the Spirit. How do you think Becky and I planted Calvary Chapel? How do you think that happened? Was it my idea? I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to ever pastor again. I'm in New England. I've been up there for a week preaching twice a day. I'm on the jet, and I stopped the fellowship that we were having at our home. I don't want to pastor anymore. I'm on the jet flying back after a week, and I'd stopped that fellowship at our house. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. He said, this is all he said, why did you stop what I started? It broke my heart. I started crying. I said, I didn't know. I didn't know. I don't want a pastor. Well, it's really too bad, isn't it? And you know what? You want to hear some irony? You ready for this? Where I live over on the west side of Fort Worth, there was a little church on the corner. For 3 years, because it was an empty church. It just sat there. So every morning, Becky and I, when we passed, we'd lay our hands and put our hands out toward her. Lord, don't let that. That's the church. It's embarrassing to have a church building sitting empty. Lord, raise up a church there. We did that for about 3 years, having no idea that was the church where we were going to move to. Do you understand? Did I make any sense?
Yes.
Man, listen, I'm telling you guys, Jesus said it. He told us, he said, listen, but in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Upon you, not in you, upon you, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Power. And you shall be my witnesses to me and to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world, earth, or to the last of mankind. Loved one, listen to me. It's so sad that Pentecost, the birth of the church, is more associated today in some circles with speaking in other tongues than winning the lost. Speaking in other tongues is a glorious gift, but that is not what Pentecost was about. It was to birth the church. It was to also endue the church with power for the purpose of what? To go into all the world, amen? For world evangelism. I'm going to ask you a question. Is world evangelism, has it ceased? Well, then Acts chapter 1, verse 8 is still for the believer today. We need that power. Loved one, we need it with all of our heart to do those things. Listen, Acts 1:8 is a continuation to every generation until Jesus comes. Amen? You should ask every day that you should, this is a command. You should ask this for your every day in your prayer time. I ask it every day. Ephesians 5:18. Be, in the Greek it would be, it doesn't do it right in English. So the command would be, be ye being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, how do you get that? I'm talking about the infilling every day. Will you give the Holy Spirit his rightful place? You walk in the Spirit. You're led by the Spirit. You listen to the Spirit. You listen. God wants to take every believer on an adventure because he chose you for a purpose. He didn't just choose you to be, I'm just here. No, no, you are ambassadors for Christ. I know I need to get ready for communion, okay? But listen to me. Go ahead and start passing it out, okay? Because I don't want to keep you. You're going to get stone me or something, but... And now I forgot what I was going to say. World evangelism, that's right. Well, I guess I did pray and ask the Lord, don't let me say anything I shouldn't say. You should expect to be used by God. Oh, here it is. Thank you, Lord. Amos 3:3. Can two walk together unless you're in agreement? Amen? Okay, now listen. Do you know if you're not walking in agreement with the Holy Spirit of God, would you think that maybe you're grieving the Holy Spirit of God? Okay, now listen. Are you fishers of men? Yes. But if you're not a fisher of men and you don't want to be a fisher of men, do you think that might grieve the Holy Spirit of God?
Yes.
Yes. Are you an ambassador of Christ? Has he given unto us the ministry of reconciliation? Are we to walk even as Jesus walked?
Yes.
Well, loved one, if we're not, you can't be in agreement with the Spirit of God. Are you following me? Maybe that's grieving the Spirit of God. The most important thing that we can do, Lord, fill me, use me. I know that I know I'm just a crummy person. I am. Listen, let me tell you something. If God can use someone like me, He can use you like you cannot believe. And let Him use you. Amen? Listen, there should be an explosion here. For God loves us. He wants to use us. Nobody's trying to be famous here. Amen? Nobody's trying to build a kingdom here. We're trying to build a kingdom. Amen? Now, every morning, say, Lord, fill me with your will. Fill me for this day. Oh, Lord, keep me alert. Let me be in tune to the Spirit of God because I'm walking. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to be led by the Spirit. I want to live in the Spirit. I want to keep in step with Him every day, every day, every day. And you know what will start happening? And you pray, Lord, manifest my gift so I'll know what it is. Do you know God will do that? He wants to do that. He gave you those things because you need them and God needs to use you. Amen? Georgine, do I need to quit? We have the bread passed out?
Yes.
Okay. I'm having a nervous breakdown, I think. Can I give you a living word?
Yes.
Jesus said, take heed. This is my body, which is broken for you. That is a living word. Do you understand? That is a living word. Do you believe it? He says, I was broken for you. And like I say at every communion, we live in a broken world, but we don't have to be the broken people anymore, do we? No, he was broken for us. He died for us on the cross. He is the bread of life. Oh, listen to the Spirit of God. Jesus said, you know, it's like the wind. He blows wherever he wants to. You can't see it, but you can see the effects of it.
Yes.
You can't put the wind in a bottle and capture it. That's the pneuma, the Holy Spirit. He's here. And we're now being obedient to the ordinance that Jesus gave. Father, we love you. We praise you. We are your family. In Jesus' name, what we do now, we do in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name, let us partake. Isn't God good? Are you getting anything out of this morning? Amen. You know, sometimes, you know, you, like yesterday, as they're passing out the elements, the cup, you ever just sing to the Lord? You know what I mean? Yeah. Just sing to the Lord. You know, I was in my office yesterday, and I've been kind of under the weather all week, and I just sat there on the couch, you know, and I have a little new doll for Willa, you know, so I put the Winnie the Pooh next to me, and I said, will you join me? No. And you know, when you sing to the Lord, you know, when you just, Jesus, 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 oh, there's something about that name. Boy, there he is, isn't there? Oh, is there something about his name? Master, Savior, Jesus. Like the fragrance after the rain. Oh, Jesus. What a name. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess. Amen. That Jesus is Lord and he is our Lord. There's no one like our Savior, amen? And Jesus, he took this cup, the new covenant, the blood of the new covenant, our sins are as far as the east is from the west, amen? They're gone. He paid for each, he paid for it all, our past, our present, our future, all of that. And when you're in Christ, our spiritual position, not our practice, unfortunately, but our position is just as if we've never sinned because we're in the one who never sinned, amen? That doesn't mean that we don't practice sin. Unfortunately, we do sin at times. But Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe, amen? Our sins, it says that he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him there is no sin. We're forgiven, a forgiven people. Will you let the one who died for you use you? Amen. Father, thank you for the cup of the new covenant, Lord, the blood. Thank you for saving us, forgiving us, cleansing us from all sin, all iniquity, all transgression, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. That you love us, you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us. And Lord, what we do now, we do in remembrance of all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, let us partake. God is good. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? I love you dearly. The Lord bless you. We're going to sing and close out. If you need prayer, please go to the prayer room over in the main lobby. If you're visiting for the first time, thank you again for being here. There's a